remember when, well, this was way on back, way, way, way on back. DC will remember this. Ready, DC? My wife beamed at me with pride and said, "Wow, I never thought our son would go that far." I said, "Yeah, this catapult is amazing. Go get our other son." This is all right. We're talking about spiritual warfare, and we're talking about doors. And remember, there's five doors, and today I'm still going to just go over one of the doors. Hopefully, there's going to come a time where I do more than one door, but it's so rich and so full. Last week was the intro, and I had somebody tell me if that was an introduction, wow, what's the rest of it going to be like? But it was. Last week was the introduction, and it began with the door of fear. And I think that's the number one thing that we find Christians having to battle against, number one, is fear. So let's just go ahead, just a few things. There we go. Wake up, bro. Okay. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." That doesn't mean take up space. That means take back lost ground. Just a couple of these slides. We'll keep on. I'm removing them a little bit at a time, but I want to keep it up there to keep some continuity. This means war. It's a terrible war. And no, believe it or not, although you might feel uncomfortable for a moment, I would rather feel uncomfortable for a moment battling the powers against me than to serve an eternity because I didn't pay attention. Amen? It's so important. It's so important that I gave in. We can reject it. We can rename it. We can resist it. But we need to recognize it, okay, and go ahead and refuse to quit. So remember, nothing ahead of you is bigger than the power of God behind you. This is it that we're going to talk about last week. Just two slides, and then we're going on to this week. It's be strong in the Lord. Y'all say it with me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say it with me again. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now we're talking about the devil's doors. And the devil's got many doors, but I just got five specifically, but there's plenty more doors. Y'all, if you think about it, you'll think of them more than what I'm saying, but you got one last week, of course. Remember, it's the Last Supper. There's 14 present. You think there'd be 13. Jesus and his disciples, there's 14, okay? Jesus and his disciples, and Satan was there. He was looking for a way to get to Jesus, but actually a doorway is an entry point into somebody's life, and there was nothing there that he could do to get in Jesus' life. Jesus, he knew how to handle him. He said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world cometh, and he hath nothing in me." He's trying to get at him, but he's not going to let him. So with Jesus, every door was shut. Now, I'm a meddle a little bit. "Hereafter I will not talk much to you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he have nothing in me." The prince of the world is here today. My question is, does he have anything in you? All right, I'll move on. I thought I'd meddle just a little bit. Ready? So, Jesus lived a life that kept the door closed, but Satan knew to get to him, he was going to have to get to his disciples. So there was a dispute among them, and there was a dispute within them. There's a lot going on. And if you, tonight is the last episode, season four of The Chosen, and now Judas is really, really, really starting to be a main character. And you've heard me say many times before that I really think, although that Judas had some rough intentions, Judas had the other intention, and that was to get Jesus to go ahead and set up an earthly kingdom. And when he saw that it wasn't going to happen, that's why he hung himself, because it wasn't exactly what he was expecting to happen. But also he was a thief. And so he would take a little bit out of the bag, but he also kind of explained all that too. So watch The Chosen issue. You'll see something. You'll see a side of Judas that maybe you might not have thought of, but still. So these disciples, these disputes that these people were having produced doors, and these doors are entry points for satanic activity. Everybody here, listen, if there's a door you've got left open, you know, when your kids are loose, say, shut them doors, because you're letting out the heat. You're letting out the cold air. You're letting in the heat, whichever way. Or you're letting in the flies. In Pamlico County, you're letting in the mosquitoes. But now that you're an adult, I'm here to tell you, shut the door, because you're letting him in. But these little points that we're starting to talk about. Number one, fear. You let Satan in, Satan will take 100% advantage. You let a little mouse get his nose in. If a mouse can get his nose in, he can get the rest of his body in. But let the devil get his nose in, he can squeeze in and get the rest of it in there. So here it is, the devil's doors. The first one we talked about last week, so I'm not going to dwell on it. Every day Satan shows up knocking at your door, unannounced, uninvited, trying to get you to change your mind. When he comes, don't answer. Decline the invitation. God closed that door a long time ago. Keep it closed and move forward. Give no place for the devil. That word or place is actually door. And door is opportunity. There's five doors. Of course, last week we talked about fear. So, fear. The Lord has given us the spirit of fear, timidity, the spirit of inferiority, but he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We talked about it last week. Go back and watch it on YouTube or watch it on Facebook, and you can hear all about breaking that down. But fear is the opposite. We get weak, we get self-centered, and we get confused. So how do you got a choice? Every last one of us, we got a choice. We can be fearful or we can be courageous. So how do I close the door to fear? Realize, number one, fear is from Satan. It's not God. Not this kind of fear. Godly fear is a reverence for God. It's a reverence for him. But this kind of fear is the kind that'll make you run when nobody's chasing you. Fear is from Satan. Fear is a choice, and we don't have to accept it. We choose faith in God, his ability to handle my past, my present, my future, my problems, and my giants. Now get ready. I told you the Lord got me this morning. Pride opens hell's doors. Did you know that? Woo! Y'all go, woo! Pride opens the door, and Satan can walk boldly in. So, the first door, of course, was fear. The second door is pride. Get ready. Pride is inflated self-interest. That's it. And in just a few short words, pride is inflated self-interest. So, let's look at this now. Let's go ahead and dig down deep into this and watch what God is showing us. Pride, spiritual warfare. Get ready. Every person has two ways to go in their life. They can go God's way or they can go their way. And I promise you, there's a many a person that is messed up because they got the signals confused. I had a lady in the second church I pastored, every day she would tell me something God told her to do, and it was different. Every day it was different. She would start the conversation looking for approval for what God had told her to do, but she started a conversation with, you know what? I prayed about it, and God changed his mind. Oh, really? But she said, I said, are you sure God's telling you to do this, this, and this? And she goes, oh, yeah, God's telling me. She said, I feel the burning in my chest. What should I do? And I said, you should get some roll weights. Sister, that ain't God. That's you getting self in the way of what God is trying to tell you. If you stay totally confused about what's going on, about how to handle it, I promise you, you've left out the main ingredient. And that is God's word. Okay, so healthy pride. Everybody knows, did y'all know we had healthy pride? There's healthy pride. Get ready. Healthy pride. At least that's a sense of accomplishment. It means it's a positive. It means you have a proper self-worth. You don't walk around beating yourself up thinking you're a worm. A proper self-worth. God wants us to have proper self-worth. We're children of the King. Proper self-worth. We're not nobodies. We're somebodies. We are children of the King. Amen? Come on, we're children. You got a chance. This might be the last chance you get all day. God, we thank you that we're children of the King. Glory! Here comes the unhealthy pride. Oh, here we go. I'm going to talk about three of them. There's non-aggressive, there's aggressive, and then there's reverse pride. But you didn't really talk about them. Somebody holler right down, right down the plow, Pastor. Y'all asked me to, so here it comes. Amen. Healthy pride. Healthy pride. First, I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. Ecclesiastes 5:18. How many know that God wants you to have a good life? Not everybody's life is the same. Not everybody has the same burdens. Not everybody has the same battles. But God expects us in the middle of our burdens and in the middle of our battles to still be able to enjoy life. Amen? So, first off, remember, healthy pride is a sense of accomplishment. Ecclesiastes 5:18, 19, just read it. It's a gift from God. That's what he says. It's my gift to you. I want you to think of yourself like you should, and I want you to know that I'm giving you something, and it's my gift to you. It's to be able to work hard and see the results of our efforts. Wow, that's awesome. It means if you put in the work, you're going to see the effort. If you put in the effort, I mean, you'll see the results of it. So when you've done something, you've really worked hard, take pleasure in it. I don't mean get abnormally proud. I mean the proper pride, the healthy pride is, yes, we did. Look at what we did. Look at how we pulled together. You know, look. I was at Emmaus, and the guys were coming back in. We're praying them down, and they go, I go, man, y'all were awesome. He said, y'all. I said, yeah, you and God. And he goes, no, it was only God. And I said, well, y'all heard the story I tell it. I said, okay, it wasn't just God. And he said, well, tell me what you mean. I said, okay, there was a preacher coming through town, and a new preacher. He's introducing himself. He goes to a farmer, and he sees this beautiful field, and he tells the farmer, man, this is beautiful farmland. This is beautiful crops. And the farmer said, yeah, me and God done good. And the preacher said, don't you mean God did good? And he said, nope, me and God done good. So what do you mean? He said, you ought to have seen it last year when God had it by himself. Amen. So the guys in the mess quit telling me. I said, look, you and God done good. They say, thank you, God, that you helped me to do what I need to do. That's proper pride. Because I'm going to tell you something. If all you can say is, it wasn't me, it was God. Get ready. That's pride. Unhealthy pride. I'll get ready to show you in a minute. Take pleasure in our achievements. Achievements of those around us. Always keep them in perspective and always thank God for them. It's just me and God working together. And it's me and God, and I always tell people it's me and God and mostly God. Okay, I've got a proper perspective about that. All right? So now, God's got to have a vessel. God's got to have a willing vessel. God's got to have a willing vessel who will do what needs to be done. So, watch out how you address things. Because sometimes in what you think is humility is pride. And it'll hold you back. Humility is the best form of warfare. It is the only thing the enemy cannot do. The enemy cannot be humble. Never is he humble. Even when he's humble. It's like Eddie was telling me something about this person. Said, Eddie said, he knew a person, they just lied and lied and lied and lied and lied. He said they told the truth one time. This whole time he's done it, they told the truth one time. He said they lied their way out of that. Inflated self-interest. That's unhealthy. An inflated self-interest. Now you're forgetting that God's done this. God's working through you. God's got you. You know, matter of fact, remember, you didn't come from your parents. You came through your parents. You came from God. And so because of that, don't blame, you can't blame everything you've ever done wrong on your parents or on the way you were brought up, although it has a lot to do with it. Remember, your victory begins when you stop thinking about how bad everything was and I came from blah, blah, blah. And remember, you came from God and God allowed you to be through all of that for a reason. So yesterday I had to stop at a store. Linda had ordered something and it was the wrong, I hadn't even come in. So, it'd been like a month. And so I go into the store and I say, she'd been waiting for this order. And they said, well, let us help you. And they're trying to help us. And finally they didn't have anything. So they were giving me a refund. And the person said, I actually want to be in ministry. I got some things I want to do, but I'm here at this store, kind of stuck. And I said, you ain't stuck. Don't even think you stuck. I said, you've been to school, right? Yep. She said, and I'm ready to do it. I said, well, hold on there. I said, now you got boots on the ground. And you're working with people. I said, matter of fact, your very first assignment out of school was right here. So don't think that God just slipped and dropped you over here and said, just wait a while. I put, no, this is your first assignment. Amen. That's right. So, inflated self-interest. First one is non-aggressive. Peter and Luke chapter 22. Jesus says, y'all all going to run tonight. Y'all going to run like rabbits. And Peter says, not me. I'll die for you, God. He goes, especially you. But I'll die for you, God. There's nothing too hard. He turns around and says, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny you even know me three times. Not me! Yeah, you. You see, the other guys will fail, but not me. I got this. Well, when somebody's got inflated or inflated self-interest, they got non-aggressive. A lot of times you'll hear, here it is. They may not say it, but it comes out of their mouth through their actions. My way is always the best way. Woo! Anybody here ever felt like that? My way is the best way. Bless you. And make sure you wipe out, make sure you wipe Sister Vicky's hair out. Have you ever thought like that? My way is the best way. I know it. Please tell me. You ever been that way? Because I'm going to tell you something. I have. In certain areas, not all areas, there have been times where I said, they have no idea what they're talking about, and you shut your ears off to the possible answer of what you need. Because you're thinking, they don't know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Now, this was not actually what I was doing this morning, but I come in, ain't no grave going to hold your body down, number one. Johnny Cash, wow, I didn't know that all these years. I've been playing Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold Your Body Down since I was about 25 or maybe even 23, 24, 25. We played a little different today. And DC finally stopped and said, Daddy, you playing the same song we playing? See Brandon laughing. Daddy, you playing the same thing we're playing? Get up here, stand beside me. I've been playing that song since I was 25. We spent 25, get an even odd number. I'm 65. couldn't get it this morning. And I said, I should know better than this. And I thought about this morning's sermon. I said, okay. Sit back and listen. See, my way is the best way. Here's the characteristics. Here's how you're going to know that this might be one of your go-tos. Characteristics, number one, you refuse most help. People offer to help you. They offer to help you by showing you things, trying to help you do this, and you refuse it. Get it, bro. Let it rip. And secondly, you refuse most advice. You know how you, this is the biggest thing I know when this is happening. Guess what? Here's what you hear. Not that, but here's what you hear. Thank you, Walter. Keep it light in here, bro. They need it. Really? I need it too. Look, a person that refuses most help and refuses most advice, here's what they say. I know. Well, you better wipe. I know. Well, you better wipe. I know. Well, if you wipe, but I know. And if you, if I'm talking to you and trying to help you, and I'm saying you keep going, I know. By the third I know, I say, I'm gone. Their favorite saying is, I know what I'm doing. My boys used to tickle me so good. I wouldn't tell them, you know, I told you so. But they'd come up to me and they go, go ahead, say it. I say, say what? Go ahead, Dad, say it. Say you told us so. I say, I don't need to. You're telling yourself. Number one, non-aggressive. Humility isn't denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. Woo! Think about that for a while. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weak spots, your blind spots. The next form of pride is You have a tendency to lose perspective. You forget to give God all the thanks. So how do you overcome this? I know. Regain perspective. I am human. You are human. We're all human. He is God. I'm human. He's God. He can show me things if I keep my big mouth shut. I know. Actually, when somebody's telling, well, listen. Actually, when somebody's telling you, I know what they're telling you is, be quiet, I got this. Think about it. You don't need to keep talking. I know. One of the biggest things that taught me about this was back when I was working at Procter & Gamble, we'd have a team meeting before we went out on the floor, and they said, okay, we're having a brainstorming session this morning. And what that meant was they went up on the board and they put the problem on the board. And they went down to every person and asked what they thought. Every person. If it was an electrical problem, I was the main electrical person. There was a couple more, but I was the main. I didn't get to talk till last. The guys working the trucks, the guys driving on the docks, the guys sweeping the floor, the guys putting toilet paper in the bathrooms. They all got a chance to tell what they thought. And when they get to the end of it, they'd write the stuff down and they'd look at me and say, okay, David, can this be done? And I go, well, let me think about it. I'll work on it. I say, how about work on it and get back with us? Everything you just heard, see what you can use and what you can't use. I said, okay. If it was a pneumatic problem or a hydraulic problem or whatever the problem was, computers, they would go through the whole room and talk to everyone. And then go to the main person and say, can this be done? Or what do you think about it? That taught me a long time ago that I don't know it all. And although I think I may know every perspective and every angle, I don't know every angle. So it's better to listen to people and listen to what they got to say. So I'm human. He's God. I'm prone to fall. I'm prone to fail. Both. I'm prone to fall and I'm prone to fail. He never fails and he never falls. So my way, here's what you got to remember. My way is not always the best way. And regain your thanks to God. So here we go. Now here's the second one. I got a little hit of myself. Here's the second one. This one here is a little tougher. This one here, matter of fact, may be a little scorchy. Proverbs 29:23, a person's pride will bring about his downfall, but the humble in spirit will gain honor. See them walking up there thinking they got it, and they just step off on the other side? Yeah. So here you go. Get your Bibles. We'll turn to it. Get your Bibles. Second Chronicles. Turn to it. Second Chronicles 26. Second Chronicles 26. Verse 19. There he is. Let's just go ahead and go to 16. Okay. Go to 16. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Talking about Uzziah, one of the greatest kings there was. I mean, he was awesome. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went to the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. In other words, he was going to do a job that he was not assigned to. He was going to do something he was not supposed to. He was a king, not a priest. Jesus is only king, priest, and prophet. Okay? So, Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Meaning they had to have some guts to do what they were getting ready to do. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and sons of Aaron, they are consecrated to burn incense. God is sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand and said, I know, my way is the best way. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And it was Azariah the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, him himself hastened also to go out before the Lord had smitten, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, one of the greatest kings, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people in the land. Wow. Now we're talking about aggressive pride. The first one says, I know. And this one says, I go. I'm going to do it. In other words, Uzziah said, I'm going to do it and bust hell wide open. And guess what? He busted it wide open. My way is the only way. Wow. The characteristics of somebody like this, they sabotage most help. Y'all got to listen very carefully to me. Do not mess up what I'm saying. Do not misunderstand. I got a sign in my office, and I got a sign in this room, and it's also at Pitt Detention Center in the drug unit. And it says, don't be an ask-hole. This is what I said. Don't be an ask-hole. Meaning, anytime you got a problem and you talk to somebody, you ask them for advice and you take it and you just throw it away. Just throw it in the hole and get rid of it. So you wasted everybody's time. You just threw it in a hole and got rid of it. And you wind up in trouble. They sabotage most help. They downplay most advice. Y'all, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never even blah, 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 blah. Favorite saying is, we're going to do it my way. I'm getting close to the end. I said close. I didn't say I was at the end. Close. The final unhealthy pride, which is, I really feel, where most people find themselves, most of the people with unhealthy pride, not most people, but most people with unhealthy pride find themselves here. And because they find themselves here, they don't even realize that it's pride. They don't get it. There's a non-aggressive pride. There's the aggressive pride. Let's see what this next one says. Well, come on, buddy. You can do it. Here it comes. I love this. A person has two hands, one for helping himself and the other for helping others. Isn't that awesome? Reverse pride. I'm going to sit down on this one. Reverse pride. The king of reverse pride in the New Testament was Timothy. You know, why are you talking about Timothy? Yes, Timothy. He had a big job to fill. He was bishop over the churches around Ephesus. He's a young guy, they were talking about him. He listened to it. I was going to sit down, but I can't. I'm just going to hold it. And he didn't realize he was playing right into Satan's hands. Some of y'all, because somebody talked about you, you heard some unhealthy comments. Somebody talked about the way your head looked, or the way your face looked, or they talk about the way you talk, or they talk about the way you walk. I remember one day, Billy Gurganus was the person that used to sing Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down, and she was my piano player. And one day, DC kept doing this. He kept walking like this. Little bitty fella walking like this. I said, DC, stop walking like that. Looks like you got something in your pants. Stop. He still walked like this. And after about a month, I couldn't get him to stop. And I finally looked over, and Betty was beside me. She says, look at him. I said, I know. I've been trying to get him to stop that for I don't know how long. Good God, the way he's walking. She says, he walked just like your daddy. I said, go ahead, son. Walk any way you want to. Because Timothy had hit so much scorn, but Paul believed in him. So Paul put him there because he knew he was the one for the job. He got to feel like his way was never the way. And so Paul had to tell Timothy, God's not giving you this spirit of inferiority that you got. He hadn't. This is not God. You're letting Satan play with your mind. I know that you can do this. God told me to put you here. You're here because you're supposed to be here. And doesn't everything play with your mind? And it's become a reverse pride. I'm not good enough. I never make it. Nobody wants to hear what I got to say anyway. If you're not careful, it can be a reverse pride. characteristics, you're afraid to ask help. Because somebody's going to talk about you asking for help. You're afraid to give advice because you don't want advice to get caught up in the same mess you're caught up in. And your favorite saying is, they never do it my way anyway. If you're not careful, that becomes reverse pride. And when it becomes reverse pride, it ruins your life. There's a difference in humility and reverse pride. Humility says, okay, you don't think I'm ready for it? Paul does. And so, Paul, what do you think I should do? And I'll do what you say I should do, because I know if you call me to do this, then obviously you think I can handle it, versus I'm going to get in a corner somewhere and cover my head up. So, non-aggressive, aggressive, and reverse pride. I love this. The strongest people make time to help others, even when they themselves are struggling. Think about it. You're struggling, you're having a hard time, but you're still helping others. Wow, that's some powerful stuff. Pride. There's healthy pride right there. That's not, is that healthy pride or unhealthy pride? That's healthy pride. He knows that he's going to help this guy. Even though he's hurting, he's still helping that guy. I'm going to give you four questions. I'm going to ask a few more. We're getting close to the end. I know this has been not the easiest of all of them. I promise you it will get worse with the doors. So don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you because I'm the one that I'm going to write this. It's already, while I'm writing, I'm going, ouch. Oh. And one time I said, I wish you put that pen down. The Lord says, in your hand. Number one, ask yourself this question. Don't look at anybody else, nobody. Just close your eyes. Think about you only. Am I in competition with others? And here's the three subs under that. Number one, can I listen, truly listen to the opinions of others? Can I? And really think about it, or just throw them to the side? You go ahead and tell me so I can put it in the little asshole box. Can I listen to somebody's opinions without attacking them? Oh, God. We live in a time today where, good God, sometimes you're afraid to speak your opinion because you get attacked. Can you listen to other people's opinions without believing that your opinion is the only one that counts? If you answered no, I cannot listen to the opinions of others. I cannot do it without attacking them, and I'm the only one with the right opinion. Pride cometh before fall. Number two. Keep your eyes closed. Do I feel self-sufficient? I feel like I can do it. I don't need anybody else's help. I got this. I don't need anybody else. I don't need their opinions. I don't need it. I know what I'm doing, and I don't need any help. Do I struggle with my own self-image? What do people think if I need help? What do people think if I start being good? And do I choose my friends for appearance, position, or performance? Can you pick up your head now? One more little test. You don't have to raise your hands. Don't point at anybody. Do you feel joy Keep a little thing in your head, though. Do this. These are yeses and these are noes, so you can keep up with them. Do I feel joy when others are honored? Yes or not? Do I seek truth from others regarding my own weakness? Yes or not? Do I accept criticism graciously? Yes or not? Do I turn all my worry and anxiety and concern over to the Lord? Yes or not? Do I respond with humility when I have been replaced? Do I pursue godliness in all that I do? Or do I feel that you can answer yeah, or do I feel that I can listen to what you got to say and you don't have to fear what I say back? If most of your answers are yes, everything's pretty cool. But if you can't do these things, instead of looking out the window, start looking in the mirror. We got two choices all the time. We look out the window, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, because there's a little bit of a problem going on here that only you and God can settle. You know what I call it? When I first got my glasses, I went through, y'all remember, I think I went through 5 pair of glasses. I couldn't see. My eyes watered all the time. I got all these floaters in my eyes. It was terrible. I was running into things, falling over things. And they told me I was suffering from eye strain. I love this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Of course, that's a fireman there. We got firemen in here. I've been a fireman. When everybody else is running out to safety, they're running in. Same way with the law, same way with EMS, same way with the military. Everybody, and when everybody else is running out, they're running in. That's one of your prescriptions for eye strain. I'm not talking about EYE strain. I'm talking about big eye strain. How do we close the door to pride? How do we get back to true biblical humility? Listen carefully. I'm almost through. True biblical humility does not mean that we operate out of weakness. But it does mean that we operate out of strength. Get ready. We're getting close. We're almost out of here. Almost. There's Jesus in the garden. So closing the door to pride. Number one. It requires humility. Get your Bible back out. We're going to read this. I don't want you to miss this. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I've got 6 through 8, but I'm going to do 5 first. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Talk about humility. Wow. That's humility defined right there. In the garden, he said, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet I want your will, not mine. He died to self. We talk about Jesus, the victory that he won on Calvary. Let me tell you something. The victory was won right there. On the cross, salvation was purchased, but the victory was won right there. Remember, without the cross, there is no victory because there's no salvation. But here, he had to win the battle for himself before he could win the battle for us. So, greater love had this, had no man in this. He laid down his life for his friends. That doesn't just mean that you die. It means you put aside your own interest for somebody else. You put aside things you'd rather be doing for somebody else to help somebody else that needs your help. So, first, submission. Next is love. We just said, and I'm not going to read it again, greater love. And then sacrifice. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. John 10:18. Do unto others, but not just do unto others, but do unto others first. And then finally, James. There's Jesus washing feet. James 4:6-7. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we love to say this, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but that sounds all fancy and all good. Just resist him. Verse 6 and 7, the first verse 6 and the very beginning of verse 7 tells us how to resist him. You got to quit being proudful. You got to quit thinking you got it and say, God, I really, really, really need you, and I need to do it your way, not my way. And you're going to close the door. Let's see here. I love it. A leader should be humble. We're all leaders. Here's some myths I've heard over the years. I'm going to put the truth down in place of it. Humble people are losers. They're not as capable as others. Remember, humility is not weakness. Reverse pride is weakness. Reverse pride is different than humility. It's perfect strength under perfect control. The truth is, the humble are lifted up by the Lord, James 4:10. The next myth, humble people end up as failures and unimportant. Nope, the truth is, the humble will one day be exalted, Matthew 23:12. Myth number 3, humble people aren't as smart as others. The truth is, the humble grow in wisdom. And number 4, the humble won't be victorious or successful as others. The truth is, the humble succeed in the end. Pride is power out of control. Humility is power under control. Pride kills. Humility heals. Think about it. Anybody that's ever involved in something I needed, that actually I needed a healing, I needed God to help me shape my mind and shape my heart and shape my attitude, it was usually, for the most part, done through humility. Never done through pride, because that's not, when you start going with somebody with pride, they put their fist up. But if you go with them in humility, they put their hands out. Here's our closing. I'm gonna say this, and then we're gonna close. Here's your prayer. I don't have it up here. Prayer for the heart of humility. Number 1, recognize humility as a Christian's most divine clothing. Lord, teach me what it means to clothe myself in humility. 1 Peter 5:5, Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Secondly, embrace God's perspective toward pride. God hates pride. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and hate pride and arrogance and evil behavior and perverse speech. Pray for God to reveal your blind spot. Here you go. Here comes the pride again. Lord, reveal the pride that is hidden in my heart and my blind spots. Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Focus on the character of Christ, not on your own sin. Lord, help me to follow your example. Hebrews 12:2, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Three more. Respond with humility to God's influences in your life. The word of God, the authorities in your life, the counsel of family and friends, the discipline of God. Lord, help me to respond quickly to discipline with a positive attitude. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Proverbs 3:11-12. And two more. Accept everything God allows in your life with gratitude. Lord, help me to see your loving hand in all the difficult circumstances. Giving thanks to God for all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Doesn't mean all these things happening to you is always his will, but his will is, no matter what I cause it, you cause it, somebody else caused it, or God allowed it, God wants you to be thankful to him. Amen. And then develop a servant's heart toward others. Lord, help me to have a servant's heart and respond to the needs of others. Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you will be your servant. BJ? DC, y'all come here and play something. I hadn't heard y'all play together in so long. Come on up here together, guys. And DC was telling me this morning, Dad, are you sure you're playing the same song we're playing? I could have easily said, dude, I was playing this song before any of y'all were born. And been truthful. But instead I said, show me. Show me what you want. Teach me. But you ask God to use you to prevent pride. Don't tell him how. And God, if I'm not going to use you, you're going to use me this way, I'm not going to be used by you, because this is what I want. This is the way I want it. That might be non-aggressive, aggressive, or even reverse pride. God, whatever it takes, however you want to use me, that's what I'll do. Everybody stand. I know these doors are not necessarily the most pleasant, but I promise you, once you start talking about the armor, once you've closed these doors, it makes that armor stick. It's going to make that armor strong. It's going to make you be able to yield yourself and put on that armor, and you'll be able to take that sword and that shield. You're going to do something special once you get Under Armour fixed. God's got us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's amazing how sometimes once we see stuff the way God shows it to us, how it's different. Same way with pride. I've heard people say, well, Joseph, he got thrown into prison. He didn't do anything wrong. Well, actually, Joseph did. Joseph was prideful. He had his coat of many colors. He had these dreams from God. He walked around talking about it all the time. Aggravated his brothers. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First, is anybody here that needs a closer walk with God, whether it's to be born again or whether it's just to be rededicated, whether it's just, God, help me get my focus fixed. Whatever. You need to get closer to God. Would you put that hand up? Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today. With nobody looking. But you may be having some eye strain. It's hard to admit it. Hard to say it. But take a deep look inside. And let me ask you, are you suffering from a little bit or maybe a bunch of eye strain? And you're needing God to help you. Nobody looking around. Nobody watching. But you put that hand up and say, yeah, I've had some problems with eye strain lately, and I need God to help me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. How many here would just be bold enough to say, God, whatever it is, whatever door it is, whether it's fear, whether it's pride or the next ones, help me to shut those doors so I can be effective in your work. Put those hands up. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch all these people. Minister mighty to them and through them, Father. Make the difference that only you can, God. Lord, there's many doors, there's many paths, there's many avenues that Satan would use to destroy us, to get the best of us. And I ask you right now, God, to help us close those doors. It's your will for those doors to be closed, but because our God is a gracious God and is not going to force it on us, it's up to us to close the door. God help us. God help us. God help us. God help us close those doors. God is so awesome. God is so, so awesome. We're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. And then I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread as we... Go ahead.